You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProntPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition, and I have several stories I want to give you my take or commentary on. One is, over the weekend, the press secretary, it's the daughter of former Governor Huckabee, who was a candidate for president, was asked to leave a restaurant that she was at with a group of friends, and she did, politely. Now, I have mixed response to this. And it's rather, and I think she did the right thing, because if anyone says, I don't want your business, guess what? I'm leaving quick and fast. And I think if any business owner is foolish enough to do this, he's on very, very thin ice. See, I've run a business, and most of my clients were businesses. And their attitude to politics, with rare exceptions, is they don't discuss it. They're in a business to sell stuff, either services, goods, investment, insurance, whatever. People do not discuss politics. Doesn't mean they don't have views on it, but it's not, they don't want to spend time on it for the simple reason their time's valuable. Secondly, they don't want to lose a client over politics. You know, I was in the financial services industry for almost 24 years, retired from it, started my own business, and had many, many clients, and I don't really know the politics of any of them. I certainly didn't ask. My question when I, especially first time meeting them and on subsequent meetings, was, how's business going? Now, that's a good question. Or how's business? Because usually business owners will tell you it's either terrific or terrible. Now, the one I always like was, it's unbelievable. That kind of covers the waterfront. But I certainly did not discuss religion nor politics. Now, since I'm in the financial services industry, I would definitely talk money. You see, people, for example, I don't go out to eat for a number of reasons. I could, but I just refuse to do it. It's time-consuming, it's expensive, and I'd rather spend my time doing something else, namely reading a book or writing or preparing a show, whatever. And people have things to do. I was rather rushed today because I need to get gasoline. I get all my gasoline, or almost all my gasoline, through Kroger because I have a loyalty card, and you get 10 cents off for every $100 you spend at Kroger. So at least I get 10 cents off. It wasn't much of a deal because this is just before the July 4th holiday, and I think most of your gas stations are jacking up the prices. So I saved a little, but not much, and I was really low on gasoline. I actually had to stop in another station just to make sure I made it to the other station. I think I could have, but I was somewhat panicked and pressed for time. I didn't want to run out of gas. So I bought $5 at one place and then went to the Kroger gas station. Now, there was another reason, because I wanted to, there was a special sale, and the store I usually go to, you can buy, if you buy six of the items, and I do buy in bulk, quantity, if you will, the price was $1.99 versus the regular price, which is $2.99. So I went to, this is a Kroger that I normally don't go to except when I get gas. So I got, and initially I didn't think they had six. That was my frustration. But I got the sale price. I also needed to get some, I have hay fever, and the hay fever season is coming. So I got some Sudafed. Again, quantity of 96. I only mention this because the other Kroger didn't have it. So I do have a certain amount of loyalty to Kroger as a grocery store. And I've been shopping there for many, many years in different stores. As a matter of fact, over the weekend, I went to one that before I moved, I usually went to. Now, why do I bring that up? Consumer sovereignty. You, in the United States, choose who you want to do business with. And you know what you want in terms of goods and services and what price you want to pay. And anyone that's come from a foreign nation or lived in a foreign nation, especially one that is either a socialist, communist nation, you take them to a grocery store and their eyes pop out. Why? The choice. You have choice after choice after choice. Whether it's mayonnaise, ketchup, mustard, you name it, even milk, there's choice. And you decide what you want to buy. You get the best service, the best price due to competition, not a government monopoly. So if I'm mistreated by any business, in particular restaurants, let's say the service is terrible or the food isn't very good, or I'm not treated right, like Sarah Sanders was not treated right, I'm never coming back again. You're not going to get a second or third chance. Sometimes I will get a second chance because, let's face it, people have bad days, but that's not an excuse. And you need to train your people. I always say the customer's always right. That's rule one. And rule two is read rule one. Is the customer always right? No. But I viewed customers or clients long term. And if I did right by the client and provided service and was courteous, I would not only make a lot of money over time. Many times I became friends with these people, and they were loyal to me, and I was loyal to them. So treating people right and being courteous really applies, I think, in all avenues of life, but especially if you're a business owner. Now, the fact that this business owner asked her to leave, that's his right. You see, it's a public accommodation. Now, you could argue she could sue him. I wouldn't bother. I wouldn't waste my time on him. The damage was done, really, to people that have restaurants with similar names in the area. That's very, very unfortunate. Just don't do business with them. And there's something else that needs to be said. If you don't treat people right, guess what happens? Oh, the word will spread. It will spread widely. You'll never know it. And it will multiply. It has a multiplier effect. The same is true if you really do right by someone. They'll recommend you. Now, business owners know this, especially successful ones. And Donald Trump is successful. And you do run into situations where clients, customers try to take advantage of you. And I've had that happen. And I called the owner. I thought what he did, I first of all was amazed what he did. I'm not going to get into details. But I basically said, I'm sorry, but I can no longer service you. And never called him again. He was rather taken aback. But when someone does take advantage of you big time, is not loyal, is disloyal, I cut them off. Now, in talk radio today, that was the story of what happened to the Trump's press secretary, is the talk on talk shows. But I wanted to place it in context as what is the right response. I would have walked out. I don't want to associate anyone that I feel uncomfortable with, and if they feel uncomfortable with me, we're done. And I'm sure she's not coming back, and I'm sure that restaurant owner is regretting it. He should really sit down and think about it. Is he in the restaurant business, or is he an activist, a political activist? I thought it was not only short-sighted, I think it was very, very foolish. Talking about people that are foolish, Maxine Waters is in the news, a congressman from L.A. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer would be one way to describe it. Donald Trump said she's a low IQ individual. That's another way. I wouldn't have gone there, but what's happening? And what's the problem with Waters? During World War II, they had a slogan, loose lips sink ships. Well, I call her loose lips Maxine Walters because she tends to blurt out what the Democrats are up to. And there have been, over the years, many instances of this. The most recent one is the Democrats want to impeach Donald Trump. That's exactly what they want to do. And Waters made no secret of it. Now, what did she do? And you really got to play. I think I have the clip. I'm not sure. I have many clips on this. It sounds, you got to be careful here because you can take things out of context. And I'm not trying to excuse what she said. She said to harass Trump cabinet members. At least that's what she said she meant. Now, that got interpreted, if you're a Trump cabinet member, you're a Trump supporter. And that's what Trump came back, and he did tweet. He uses tweets like FDR uses radio. And here's the tweet. I'll read it. Congressman Maxine Waters, an extraordinarily low IQ person, has become, together with Nancy Pelosi, the face of the Democratic Party. Well, if those two ladies are the face of the Democratic Party, I think the Democratic Party has a problem. She has just called for harm to supporters, of which there are many, of the great Make America Great Again movement. Be careful what you wish for, Max. Now, I call her Mad Max or Mad Maxine, and I find her funny. And I want her to continue to do what she's doing. Because who is she hurting? Not herself, but she's definitely hurting the Democratic Party, and she doesn't even realize it. She's helping Donald Trump. He probably gets more supporters when Maxine Waters goes off like she does. She's been in Congress too long. This is just another example, this one a Democratic Party example, of the need for term limits. I think she's been in Congress 13, maybe four, maybe she's running for the 14th term. She's been there over 26 years. Oh, yeah, she has a very expensive home in, not in her district, outside her district. At least this is the map I'm showing. That's a detail. The point is, I would encourage Maxine Waters to keep talking. Keep talking. If she wants to make a fool of herself and encourage not only Trump supporters, but people that are on the fence or independent to support Trump, terrific. She did let the cat out of the bag by telling people exactly what they're trying to do, and that is to impeach Trump as fast as possible. Even though she was told several times by Nancy Pelosi and others in the leadership, cool it on the impeachment. That was wise advice. Because why? They don't have the evidence. Even the Democrats, very early and often knew that this was going nowhere. That's exactly where it's gone. The so-called Trump collusion with the Russians, no evidence of it. Still no evidence. Trump's not going to be impeached, and he's certainly not going to be convicted. And for that matter, if the Republican Party, and I think they will, control the House and the Senate, you're not going to see an impeachment nor a conviction. And that's really one of the reasons why you have these desperate pronouncements by the likes of Maxine. She's been condemned for what she said, called on the carpet by Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. That's not a way to win friends and influence people. Oh, yes, she should be defeated, but she won't. She comes from very much a black district in L.A., where there's a lot of gang. I'm looking at a map that shows where the gang turf is. It's a good chunk of her district, and also where houses. She has more or less a safe district. Who's going to challenge her? Difficult. But let's be clear here. I have no use for a big government Democrat nor a big government Republican. And that's what I'm going to be discussing in a minute. Both parties keep on spending money when we're way beyond, I was going to say, the point of no return. We're approaching that quickly. You can't run massive deficits year in, year out, whether you're a Democratic president or a Republican president. It doesn't end well. You're just piling on debt upon debt. And a deficit, for those that confuse deficits with debt, where you spend more money than you collect in total taxes from the American people, that's a deficit. It's a bill. It's a liability. How do you pay for it? Well, if you're the United States government, you issue debt, U.S. Treasury securities, bonds, notes, as well as Treasury bills. And that's gone up. It's over $21 trillion now. When Obama left, it was just hitting at $20 trillion. Now it's over $21 trillion. I think by the time President Trump leaves, it's going to be somewhere between $28 billion and $30 billion. This fiscal year, it's estimated it'll probably run around, next fiscal year, it's estimated it'll run about $800 billion, and the following one, over $1,000 billion. The reason I'm saying this, it doesn't seem to matter whether it's a Democratic president or a Republican president. Money bills come out of the House. They have to originate in the House. And presidents can propose any budget they want, but that's really a formality. It's the House that really determines how much money is spent, how much money is appropriated to spend, and they do prepare a budget. But it really hasn't changed much, except for where the money is spent. There are slight differences. Government spending at the federal level, as well as many other levels, but definitely at the federal level, is out of control. They have what I call SAD, spending addiction or disorder. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing this, but I'm not going to get into the details. You need to understand that much of spending today is what's called mandatory government spending. The reason why it's mandatory is if you qualify, for example, for Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid, legitimately qualify, no questions about that, the government's going to cut you a check. And because the baby boom generation was, up until recently, the largest generation in U.S. history, and more of those people are either already retired and collecting Medicare benefits if they're 60, well, if you're 65 or older, you can, if you're sick, and take advantage of Medicare. It doesn't pay all the bills, but it does pay your hospital, your doctor bills to a certain extent. You still need supplemental insurance, either Medicare supplement type policy, Medigap is another word, or Advantage, Medicare Advantage. Now, I'm telling you this because given the fact that the baby boom generation was so large, one of the drivers of these deficits is entitlement spending, and the three big entitlements are Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid for the poor. Don't confuse Medicare with Medicaid. If you qualify, you're going to get, the government's going to spend the money on you. That's why they call it mandatory. Then you have what's called discretionary spending, and that's where the government passes a budget every year. The biggest item there is Department of Defense, and then you have the national debt, interest on the national debt, and then you have all the other departments. If you exclude defense, all the other departments are less than 15%. Now, I'm leading up to something. What are we doing? What do we need to do to put our financial house in order? Well, it's clear. What do individuals do? What do families do? What do businesses do? School districts, churches, charities, businesses do. Every year they budget. They budget, first of all, what income they have coming in, and then how much money they're going to spend. And if they have a shortfall, yes, you can put it on a credit card if you qualify for a credit card. You can go into debt, not advised, but people do that, and people can get hurt when they keep saying, charge it, charge it, charge it. But the way the government charges it is issue debt. It's out of control. And it doesn't matter whether you elect Democrats or Republicans, they're not addressing it. Matter of fact, I'll go even further. I don't really think they care about it anymore. In other words, we don't have leadership in Washington. We have a bunch of followers, and they don't want to take on the challenging, and I mean challenging and difficult problems, of trying to live within the means of the American people. And what I mean by that is not go into debt every single year, and that's more or less what they're doing, but having balanced budgets, and ideally, especially when the economy is growing, have surplus budgets to pay down the debt. Now, I want to link this to a news story that happened last Friday, discussed, not covered very much, and that's interesting. This is an election year, but the Trump administration and Mike Mulvaney, he's the budget director. He wears two hats, but his primary job is budget director. He has a plan to reorganize the federal government. He wants to combine certain departments. Well, that's all nice, there is a lot of waste. He's well aware of the waste, duplicate programs. But what really needs to happen? This is a start. Has anything been done? No. Why? Who has to do this? The president can propose it and should propose it, but the final decision on this is Congress, both the House and the Senate. And that's where the problem is. You don't have leadership. And they don't want to take on the reorganization of the government. Almost every president that's been president has had a plan or a proposal to reorganize the government. I like to call it rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. It's a favorite thing to do not only in government, but also in large corporations. In this case, though, it is a necessity. Because if we don't start permanently closing departments, and no one really is talking about it to any great extent, either in Congress or in this administration, that's what needs to be done to balance the budget, namely close departments permanently, not merge them, close them. That's what I call the description of heavy lifting. And you need to be persistent, you need to be courageous about it, you need a vision, you got to lay it out, and you got to twist a lot of arms. Because let me tell you something, the bureaucracy, the people that work in these departments, especially the ones you want to downsize or close, are going to fight you every inch of the way. They're not going to give an inch. And they have their supporters in Congress, both in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And I warned President Trump that once he was sworn in, his enemies would not only be obviously the Democratic Party and the bureaucrats in these agencies, but also the leadership of the Republican Party. And don't forget what I call big lie media, mainly because they don't really broadcast or publish news. There's a little bit of that, but it's primarily progressive propaganda supporting largely the Democratic Party. And then you have the donor class that make large campaign contributions. So Donald Trump has, let us say, many, many enemies that do not wish Donald Trump to succeed at all. And he is succeeding, not on all fronts. One that I know that he better get his act together is building that wall. Not a single mile of new wall has been built. Now, whose fault is that? Congress won't appropriate the money. Now, they're trying to pass a immigration bill, at least the House is. And maybe they'll get their act together and tomorrow, not tomorrow, but sometime this week, Wednesday, Thursday, whenever. I really thought both bills were dead. We'll see. But let's assume, let's be optimistic here. I'm a realist, but let's be a little bit optimistic. Let's say the House finally gets its act together and passes something. I think they need 218 votes. And in the bill, there's money for the wall. That's essential. They need at least $25 billion. And this is really, I won't say the last chance, but the best chance for him, Donald Trump, to get the money. And let's say Thursday, Friday, I think Thursday, because everyone's going to take a week off because of the holidays. And yes, we will not be giving a show on the 4th, and I was informed that we might be preempted on Wednesday. I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. But what's the problem? Let's say the House passes this. Surprise, surprise, the House passes a bill on immigration yet. And there will be problems with the compromise. What needs to happen? Yeah, you're right. The Senate needs to pass a bill with similar, if not identical, language. What happened earlier this year? There were four bills in the Senate and none passed. Donald Trump said last Friday, don't continue to waste time on this. I think he's right, because the House can pass it, and it does take time, and you do spend a certain amount of political capital, and there are compromises being made, and that's what's dangerous about this. Why compromise if the Senate can't pass the bill? Why make that trade-off? And Donald Trump says, what? We need more Republicans. He's exactly right on that. We need what I call A and B Republicans, not D and F Republicans. And the D and F Republicans are closer politically to the Democrats. And that's why both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, I don't vote for them. They're big government parties. They're the problem. They're not the solution. They're definitely the problem. As Ronald Reagan said, government is the problem. Well, government is the problem because the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are the problem, because they vote for money to spend on things, many of them, which we can't afford. There's no financial discipline. There's no financial responsibility. There's little or no attempt to balance budgets. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And ultimately, the debt will rise, rise, and rise. And what happens? You got to pay interest on that debt. And as a percentage of spending that the government, both you have mandatory spending, discretionary spending, but I'll tell you what you really got to pay first, and that is interest on the debt. Because if you're addicted to debt, and that's what you're using to pay your bills, and that's exactly what they're doing. Many of them, both entitlement and welfare programs. Now, you can't really do that because money, the word is fungible. Money can pay for anything. But what's driving these huge deficits is the combination of entitlement programs and welfare programs. And we have a lot of duplication of welfare programs. Government, the United States government, is not efficient. I will go further. It's not effective. The overwhelming trend, and really it started with a progressive Democratic president, the only one with a PhD, a doctorate, was Woodrow Wilson. And ever since then, the long-range trend is government, federal, at the federal level, has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And although there is usually what initially increases the size of the government as we go to war, whether it's World War I, and that's exactly what the progressive Democrat Woodrow Wilson did. He ran. He's going to keep us out of war. Well, a few months after the election, I think it was April of the next year, we were at war. Congress declared war. Same thing happened with World War II. Now, I'm not going to get into the history lesson, but the point I'm making is what gets us in financial trouble are wars. You want to stay out of wars, especially when you don't really benefit from them. See, in my mind, the best thing the United States could have done is stayed out of World War I. Why? The powers that were fighting would have gone on killing each other. Our intervention in that war tipped the scales. But because of the peace was very vindictive and on part of France and the United Kingdom and the others that defeated Germany, that, I think, directly led to World War II. War is one of the major drivers of making government bigger. And as you do that, the debt also increases. You have deficits followed by, to pay for those deficits, debt. It's not the only thing. That's why what we have today is a warfare and welfare state. And it's the United States government. If you look at military spending for all countries, the United States, it's not quite 50%. But we, if you add the next largest, the numbers change, but it's about, you'd have to add 7 or 8 countries to equal what the United States is spending. Some countries is very small percent. And you know who they are, Russia, Communist China, and others. So you need some perspective. And yes, we do provide weapon systems for those that are allies to us. But if you're trying to cut budgets, you got to look at defense. Is that what the Trump administration is doing? No, they're increasing it. I always say, who is really going to want to start a war with the United States? They got to be out of their mind, given what would be up against. It would be very, very foolish. Now, I'm for a strong national defense. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. But today, the United States is an empire. It's not a representative republic. I'm sorry to tell you that, break the news. Most of your politicians today are bought and paid for by the people that own America, own the corporations, the businesses. That's a fact. And because of that, the people that are in the political leadership go hat in hand, make calls every day for more and more campaign contributions. And they're bought and paid for. And what I mean by that, they're going to do the bidding of the people that provide the large campaign contributions. And they have given us this big government. So until the American people stand up a new political party to challenge both the Democrat and Republican Party, nothing fundamentally is going to change. The status quo will remain. There'll be some details, and there's always going to be differences, especially of emphasis, but both parties are the problem. So if you want to continue voting Democrat and Republican, thinking you're going to see some fundamental changes, you're not. You know, Mike Mulvaney is the lead on this, the budget director, and he has some ideas. And there are organizations such as the Cato Institute and the Heritage Foundation. They have ideas. I have ideas. But essentially, you have to close departments. I say 8. I could make a case for 10. Agriculture. And I'll discuss 2 or 3. I'm not going to discuss all. I have time limitations. With the exception of a few crops, such as wheat, corn, rice, soybeans, most of agriculture is competitive. The United States farmers, whatever their size, can produce all the food that American citizens need, as well as many in other nations. We have a very rich land. We have the technology. We have a lot of investment. We don't need a Department of Agriculture. Now, you better believe those senators and representatives from farming states will fight you tooth and nail if you try to shut down the agricultural department. Oh, it should be shut down because all it's doing is largely, not entirely, providing subsidies, taking the tax money that you and I contribute and giving it to certain farmers that meet certain requirements. So you need to do away with the agriculture department. Transportation. Why do we have a transportation department? Ask that. We can produce cars, trucks, bicycles, motorcycles, jet planes. Why do we need a transportation department? And don't tell me regulate. Housing and urban development. I think the United States, the private enterprise, businesses can produce houses, malls, plant, equipment, office building. You don't need an Department of Housing and Urban Development. Please, they get in the way. That's why I'm applauding the attempts by President Trump to get rid of as much regulation as possible. Energy. Why do we have a Department of Energy? We can produce a lot of energy, whether it's oil, natural gas, electrical power from, let's say, water, dams, as well as nuclear. Let's not forget nuclear. I favor what France did. Most of the electrical power generated in France, and I'm not using France as a good example, but they went whole hog. They made a big bet on nuclear, and they standardized. And now most of their electricity, not only for their nation, but for other nations surrounding them, is nuclear. And that is the efficient way to do it and the renewable way to do it. You know, I wish that we could start and finish, put online for every state at least 2 nuclear plants. But what's the problem? It's regulation, both at the federal level and the state level. But you better believe we could produce all the energy, whatever form it takes, especially if the government would not interfere. You see, you need competition. You need multiple entities or corporations, businesses, competing with one another. And that's the way you're going to get the price down and the quality up. And remember, the customer is always right, and they're looking for cheap electricity. Now, what about other departments? Do we need a Department of Education? No, absolutely not. Most education occurs where? Between your ears. You educate yourself. The federal government should not be involved in it. But it is largely a payoff to the teachers' unions. Get rid of it. We don't need it. Now, it does train workforce. And one of the recommendations is to combine the Department of Labor with Health and Human Services. I would eliminate Department of Education, Agriculture, Transportation, Energy, Commerce. We know how to do business. Now, some of these departments compile useful information, statistics, reports. That's why I recommended last show that to the extent that the government is publishing reports, and the Department of Labor does this, the Department of Energy does this, the Department of Commerce does that, have an Office of Statistics and Information. Consolidate that, and there's probably other departments that publish reports, and you need to scrutinize it. Do we really need this report or not? Do away with a lot of the duplicate programs, especially in the welfare or poverty area. And the same thing with the training area. What's shocking is the financial management and the accounting of the departments, not all but most, are terrible. The worst offender is DOD. I would also eliminate the Department of Interior. The United States knows how to, there are a lot of real estate companies, both development, management. And if we sold off all the federal land, first to the states and individuals, especially in the western states, large portions of them are federal lands. Federal government doesn't need, we downsize the federal government, they have too much land. Give it to the states and the people to develop. So those are some of the departments that I would definitely permanently close. But you're going to need to get support and votes. The key is votes, and you don't have them in the Congress. That's the same problem today in immigration. So everyone has an idea. Ideas are a dime a dozen. It is action that's required, and that requires leadership, and a leader that has the vision to do it, the courage to do it, and he has to convince, he has to be persuasive, clear, concise, convincing, and he needs to make the case with the American people, because he needs the American people behind him. Otherwise, none of this is going to happen. There are just too many, call them forces, special interests, whatever phrase you want to use, that will try to what? Stop him. Why I wish Mike Mulvaney luck in trying to do consolidate departments and make what he's trying to do is make it efficient, do away with duplicate programs. And I'm all in favor of that. But I'm afraid that this is just going to delay what really needs to be done is getting rid of those 8 departments. And I'll be the first to admit there are several things that one or more of these departments do that probably, when really looked at, we probably would continue. But much of it, we wouldn't. And why do we need to do this now? You didn't get the memo? oh, we're over $21 trillion in debt. But that's the tip of the iceberg. What you need to know is the unfunded liabilities. Unfunded means there's no money was invested or put aside to pay for the liabilities, in this case, primarily for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. The money was spent, not invested, spent. Now, the Democrats like to play a game they call spending investment. No, that's not what happened. They spent the money a long time ago, over many, many decades. It's gone. And now, to pay the bills, to pay the entitlement programs, the biggies are Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and we still have Obamacare. We have not completely done away with all the regulations, the taxes, the subsidies, and all the mandates, not just the individual mandate. And until we do that, Obamacare is still around, still costing money. I'm not saying any of this is easy. See, the hardest thing to understand about Washington, there are a couple of things. One is most of these people are followers. They're not leaders, even though they might have a leadership role in either the Democrat or Republican Party. What they're fundamentally for is the status quo. Don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat. Let's keep this party going as long as we can. Well, the party's over, and there will be a day of reckoning, and we need to shut down permanently at least 8 departments. I could list 10. A better way to approach it is, what department should we definitely keep? Department of Defense, Department of State, Department of Treasury, Department of Justice, for sure. And there are a few others. Homeland Security, for example. But most of the other federal departments should be permanently shut down. We can't afford them anymore. In my mind, you can cut the federal government in half. You can cut the labor force of the government in half. We need to get it under 1 million. It's headed towards 3 million. Now, why? Read the memo. Look at the debt. Look at the unfunded liabilities that we didn't put money aside. How big is that? Somewhere between $100 and $200 trillion. $1 billion is 1,000 million. A one followed by 9 zeros. $1 trillion is a one followed by 12 zeros. $1 trillion is 1,000 billion. And we have unfunded liabilities at least 100 trillion, and realistically, over 200 trillion. The United States will produce this year somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 trillion in total. The world, maybe 80 trillion. What's relevant is our liabilities are at least 5, if not 10 times all the goods and services, final goods and services that the United States manufactures in any year. We're in financial trouble. And where's the leadership? Oh, they're debating an immigration bill that's never going to be signed because it never will get to the president's desk. And it might not get to the president's desk next year. Trump knows that he needs to build that wall. If he's going to get reelected, he needs the funding from Congress to start building it. It's approximately a 2,000-mile wall. It needs to be built. Otherwise, the invasion continues. We have anywhere from 30 million to 60 million illegal aliens in the United States. They are coming in every single day. Every single day I have been on the air, illegal aliens have been coming into the United States, either across the U.S.-Mexican border, or they're flying in on a visa, a student visa, a tourist visa, a business visa. There are many, many types of visa, but they don't go home. They like it here. I understand that. We need to get control of not only government spending, but immigration. Why? What is the federal government paying today? And I say the federal government, what are you paying in your community for schools, hospitals, police, roads, because of illegal alien invasion? And if you add the federal government to it, it's over $100 billion, heading towards $200 billion. We need to shut this down. We need it as near as we can to an impenetrable barrier to keep out the surge, the flood, the invasion of people, and with that, drugs into the United States. Heroin, marijuana, amphetamines, major source, Mexico. And the drug cartels, why drugs is their primary business, their secondary business is the smuggling into the United States of people. And who's fighting this? Oh, the Democratic Party, for sure. They want open borders. Oh, yes, and they want to impeach Donald Trump. Will they? I don't think so. I really don't. Because I think they've misread and really miscalculated where the American people are. The American people want a growing economy. They want peace and prosperity. They want a booming economy, where the economy is growing at 4%, 5%, 6% above the historical average of between 3% and 3.5%. That's what the American people want. The best welfare program is a good paying job with benefits. And to the extent that Trump can turn around this economy and get growth rates like that, I'm not saying it's easy, though. He'll get elected again, and more Republicans, you will have some coattails. But it depends on getting control of spending. And that's really the area that, in my mind, the biggest weakness that President Trump has. Now, he can run against Congress, Democrats and Republicans, because they ultimately have control over it. Like I said, money bills have to originate in the House, and then the Senate has to pass a bill, and they have to go to conference and then agree on common language. And where you simply don't have enough, especially in the Senate, but also it could change in the House, you need to have the majorities you need to pass legislation. So Trump is right. You need, if history is right and the Democrats pick up House or Senate seats, I don't think they will, but the smart money is they will, because that usually happens in what's called a mid-year election or mid-term election. I don't think you're going to see the so-called blue wave. And the reason is the Democratic Party and its leadership. They have placed a big bet, and they're not giving up on this, to get citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. That is their goal. And the reason they focus like a laser beam on it, they know if they can get citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here, whether it's 30 million, 60 million, somewhere in between, whatever the number is, if they can get citizenship and continue the surge into this country of illegals, primarily from Mexico and Central America, once citizenship is granted to all the illegals that are here, and I'm not for it, I'm adamantly opposed, you do not reward criminal behavior, because what you reward or what you give an incentive to, what do you get? You get more of it. And that's what's happened. We have a history. What happened in the Reagan administration? We had an amnesty. Initially, everyone thought it was going to be about 1 million. It turned out 2.7 million illegals got citizenship. And that was supposedly going to solve the problem. We were going to secure the borders. Well, that never happened. And as what's happened is over 30 years, over that 30-year period, we now have anywhere from 30 million to 60 million. And it's getting higher every day. No one knows the number, though. The government should know the number, but they don't. They're scared if they told you what they really thought it was, because the American people would be in open revolt. The American people do not support giving citizenship to illegal aliens, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, Independents, or any other party. They don't support it. Why? That competes directly with them in the labor market. While I'm for competition, I'm not for letting tens of millions of illegals that don't come here following our laws. We have one of the most, if not the most generous immigration, legal immigration system in the world. But we can't cure or solve world poverty. There are close to 7.5 billion people in the world. I might be a little low. Over 7 billion for sure. I've seen estimates that at least somewhere between 100 and 200 million minimum would like to come to America and become citizens. Who wouldn't? We're one of the most prosperous nations in the world. One of the freest, although we have been freer. America, with the exception of the very rich, people are coming to America. They're not leaving America. And if it were easy, we would be flooded. If we really threw open the borders, we would have tens of millions per year. It would overwhelm us. President Trump is absolutely right. We must control our borders. We're not a nation if we don't control our borders. Yet we have the Democratic Party that is more concerned about illegal aliens than about their own voter base. As far as I'm concerned, the Democratic Party has betrayed the American people, has betrayed American workers. And if you're foolish enough to continue the habit of voting for Democrat after Democrat, because my family did it, they're screwing you. They're just a big government party, and what's happened to that party over the last 30 years plus, they have moved further and further and further to the left, supporting bigger and bigger government programs and expanding the scope, the size, the role of government. And in the process of doing that, the end result is what we see in the size of the national debt. But really, that's just the tip, the unfunded liabilities. There's no free lunch. Who has to pay those unfunded liabilities? Some of you are going to say, well, the government will pay. They can go into debt. No, you will have to pay. You see, in let's take France. And this is really true of many, I won't say all, but many of the European countries. They have a very centralized government, and they have a problem. They have low growth rates and high unemployment. If we continue down the road that Obama was on, we would become France. Actually, I think we would have become Greece. It's abundantly urgent to get off this highway, a superhighway, to serfdom. That's what it is. Because France, it's about 50%. And the price the people pay in that country is high unemployment rates, low growth rates. And you're getting fewer and fewer people paying the taxes and more people dependent on government. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what, unfortunately, both political parties want you to be, become dependent on government. If you're dependent on Medicare or a Social Security check, you're dependent on government. If you're dependent on a welfare check, you're dependent on government. Medicaid, the same thing. It's very tempting to depend on government, but assumes that the government can do it efficiently and effectively. Unfortunately, they have been dismal failures. We have to change this around. It's like changing the direction of an aircraft carrier. It takes a lot of time to turn around an aircraft carrier. Well, this is many orders of magnitude greater than an aircraft carrier. Yes, it's complex. Yes, it's massive. But you need a leader, and you need leaders working for that leader to change the fundamental direction this country is headed. If we don't, the United States will become Greece. And in Greece, a lot of people work for the government. They're broke folks. Insolvent would be a better way to say this. They can't pay their bills. They're the sick men of Europe. But Europe, in general, is sick. They bought into the welfare state. Some would call it a mixed economy. They are killing or slowly strangling the goose that lays the golden eggs. Actually, the flock of geese that lay the golden eggs. So where do we start? What do we start? What needs to be done? We definitely have to get control of overspending, and that means you're going to have to close federal departments. Once you do that, to prove the urgency, and that means over 1 million government workers will have to find employment elsewhere. Many will retire, but over 1 million, I would say 1.5 million would have to find jobs elsewhere. Be productive. That's another way to look at it. We have to cut the budgets of departments that remain. It's called austerity. And you better believe that the leftists don't like that. They want to do the opposite. But down that road lies ruin. Where socialism, communism has been tried, it has failed. Takes some time, but ultimately it fails. And where you have government running industries, it has failed. Now, nations have reversed themselves and have tried to, as best they can, have a larger sector. I call it the private sector, where you do have competition. But invariably, what you also run into, the government is intervening with regulation after regulation after regulation. So I wish the Trump administration well. It has its work cut out for them. But unless you have the votes in the House and Senate, I don't think Trump can get it done. It's that simple. He might get it reelected, but he needs the votes in the House and the Senate, not one, both clear majorities that would support what he wants to do. And most of them don't support what he wants to do. That's why I call them the DNF Republicans. Go to Conservative Review, look up the score, the letter grade for your congressmen and senator, and you will suddenly realize the scope of the problem. Most of those D's and F Republicans, who do they vote with when they actually pass something? They vote with the Democrats. This will continue until the American people say enough is enough. We need a new political party that believes in fiscal responsibility, believes in balanced budgets, believes in controlling government spending by eliminating departments, having fundamental reform of the entitlement programs, the elimination of most, not all, but most public welfare programs, and also fundamentally changing the tax system. from an income-based tax system to a broad-based consumption tax. That's a lot for any presidency. Trump might accomplish that. He's not losing support. I think President Trump is actually gaining support, but he needs to get that wall passed. He needs to fundamentally reform the tax system. He needs more Republicans, and I'm not a Republican or Democrat. You see, I always get back to this because I'm from New York City. Donald Trump is a liberal Democrat. He's for big government. He's not for limited government. He's not a limited government guy or gal. Now, he talks of a movement. I don't think wearing a red hat saying make America great again is a movement. I think that's being a delusional, demented Democrat. You need a new political party to stop this. The Democrats are a lost cause. The Republicans, they're so compromised. There's maybe 100 representatives and senators that you could count on. The rest, forget about. Now, I just got the signal. I got to wrap it up. Congressman Nunes, head of the House Intelligence Committee, he has given deadline after deadline after deadline to the Department of Justice and the FBI to produce documents. I don't know, as of right now, whether they've produced the documents. But I'm raising the question, what are they hiding? Now, I have a strong, I'll tell you what I think they're hiding. There was and is a criminal conspiracy. It came out of the White House, folks. That means the Obama administration. It was supported by government officials, high officials, in the Department of Justice, in the FBI, in the CIA, the National Security Agency. They first had to get Hillary Clinton off the hook. They did. And then they worried about the Russians providing some, not all, but some of the information that they were fearful that the Russians got off her server. That's why they were spying on Trump. They didn't come up with anything. And they're trying to hide from the American people that they were spying. Well, the cat's out of the bag. We don't know all the details. But Nunes is trying to zero in on what started the national intelligence investigation of the Trump campaign. Well, I think I can answer. It's speculation on my part. They wanted to make sure that they were spying on the Trump campaign or surveilling the Trump campaign, assuming that they were going to learn that the Russians were going to supply them some compromising information on Hillary Clinton. It didn't happen. And then they used that same vehicle to try to smear Trump in saying he was colluding with the Russians. And that led to unmasking of Trump supporters that were active in his campaign. I think Rod Rosenstein was tangentially not the principal player, but he was involved in that conspiracy. He doesn't want to disclose, for example, the scope of the Mueller investigation, nor does he want to disclose the FISA applications that was renewed 3 times, the last time under his signature. And he certainly doesn't want to disclose what kicked this all off and how that developed and turned into a formal FISA warrant, where FISA is I now got the absolute rap sign. So I'll cover this in future shows. They need to impeach the Deputy Attorney General, Rosenstein. And Sessions better soon appoint a special counsel, because the American people's patience have been tried. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.